Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise God. Oh, yes, just very glad to know the Lord. So thankful that we can take all things to the Lord. Amen. And know that, yes, He is faithful. Amen. He hears us. He cares. He answers. Praise the Lord. And yes, we are blessed to know Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to pray here as I begin here tonight and ask God to just have His way. Praise the Lord. So thankful for everybody that's joined us tonight. So thankful that we could come together and study God's Word. Amen. It's still a possibility. Amen. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we do praise Thee. Oh, Lord, we do exalt Thee. Oh, Lord, we do honor Thee, Lord. Oh, God, we know that there is no God to compare to Thee, Lord. And oh, we're so thankful, Lord, that we can bow our knees and surrender our will to Thee, Lord. And oh, God, oh, Lord, we can have this privilege of opening up Thy Word. And oh, Lord, I pray that it would, oh, God, shine out tonight, Lord. Oh, God, that it would talk to us as individuals. I pray that it would draw us close to Thee, Lord. Oh, God, and oh, Lord, that You'd help us all. Oh, God, that we would all make it unto the end, Lord. Oh, God, that we'd all be faithful servants, Lord, that we'd all serve Thee, oh, Lord, with a fervor. And, oh, God, that Thy will would be done in our lives. Oh, Lord Jesus, that You'd use us for Thy kingdom's sake, oh, Lord. Oh, God, that we would be that shining light in this very dark world. Pray, oh, God, that You'd have Your way, Lord, that You'd give me the thoughts, the ability, the anointing, oh Lord Jesus, the words that I need, Lord, oh God, to teach this lesson. And we praise Thee, Jesus. We love Thee, Lord. Oh God, I pray that You would work mightily in us. Oh God, and yes, as I have already said, that Thy will might be done in us, that we might fulfill, oh Lord, that which Thou has ordained for Thy kingdom's sake. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Your precious name, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, God is good. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. All right. We're going to be talking about our life in Christ again here tonight. This is part two. And I'm quite sure I have another extension, at least beyond this. But with the grace of God, we're going to cover what we can here tonight. And you know, really, you could go just oodles of places in the scripture, because it does seem like the epistles were all admonishing us to, you know, live in Christ and to fulfill His will, and you know, how to conduct ourselves and how to live in victory. And, you know, there's just so many things, the warnings that we need, and you know, the alertness that we need, and, you know, the truth of God's Word. Oh my, so much is given us. But oh, praise the Lord, we, oh yes, we have so much to appreciate. You know, doesn't seem like very many people have a lot of deepness in God's Word. And I pray that we all do, and that it will grow in us, because there's always more. There's always so much more. And so thankful for just, you know, the understanding that we have at the moment. But praise the Lord, I want the Lord to grow us. Amen. And this is what, you know, we're talking about here. We're talking about growing in the Lord and coming to that place in Jesus Christ where, you know, we have the victory that we need in our lives. Oh, yes, over the world, over sin, over the devil. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. And oh, yes, I want to just start here in Matthew chapter 6 here tonight. Just a familiar portion that I think relates to what we're speaking upon here tonight. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Jesus' words here, part of His Sermon on the Mount. Yes, Jesus said, Matthew 6, 24, "No man can serve two masters, For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And oh yes, you know, you see a lot of people that make some claims to be Christians and all, but oh my, as we read God's word and as we let it sink into our hearts and as we apply it and of course obey it, you know, we're going to realize that, we've got to give it a lot of attention. And, you know, there is a battle there. There is a battle for our minds, our thinking, our attention, everything else, you know. There's a battle that goes on continuously. And, of course, you know, we just know, you know, you see, people out there in the world, you know, just doing their things and living their lives. I just marvel, you know, a young girl that we were together at a family occasion she had a shirt that said wicked on it. And I just always think, how can anybody use that word wicked? And it's used lightly these days, you know. They'll talk about maybe some chocolate or something and call it wickedly good, you know. Or, oh, there's those slippers that L.L. Bean has, and, you know, they have in the past advertised them as, you know, wickedly good, you know. And I think that's so strange. If it's wickedly good, I don't want it, you know.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, these thoughts, these words, you know, these descriptions are applied just without hardly, you know, any thought. And I suppose people don't think too much of it these days. You know, people think, you know, it's cute to talk about having a beer. And, you know, I don't know how many times I've been in the grocery store or some store and, you know, somebody's remarked about having a beer or something. And, you know, it's like it's cute, you know, it's like it's normal, you know, and it's expected. But, oh my, people these days don't have much restraint to the words that come from their mouth, you know. In fact, maybe no restraint whatsoever. It didn't used to be like that, you know. People in public, you know, would take a little more care. And in fact, you know, I know even Melania Trump, I know one time I read that, you know, she commented to President Trump, you know, that be careful how we talk, because it wasn't presidential, you know, to use some of those words that have, you know, he sometimes utters, or maybe very often utters. But you know, God hears it all, and it's all going to be judged. And I do thank God, you know, when he takes us out of the world, he changes us. And all at once, you know, our focus becomes different, and, you know, our ways of thinking. And, oh, by the grace of God, those old tendencies, those old ways, they're going to be dropped. You know, we're not going to want to do them anymore by the grace of God. You know, such a description in Jeremiah 23, since I opened up to it here, verse 10. I just want to read this. It seems quite descriptive of these days that we're living in right now. It says, Jeremiah 23, verse 10, "For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right." And then verse 11 says, "For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord." And how very sad, you know, old Israel, oh, who had the laws and the ordinances and the favor of God, to be even called God's chosen people. But yet, how God despised it. Oh, yes, would his people turned to the ways of the heathen, and oh yes, did the same things, and you know, uttered perverseness, and you know, I just did all the wicked things that the heathen were doing. Oh, God was not pleased. He was not pleased. Oh, even the priest and the prophet were profane. In other words, they were vulgar and they were unholy. And even in the house of the Lord, there was great wickedness. Oh, yes, that was a horrible thing, you know. After a while, there were even places dedicated to homosexuals in the house of the Lord. And come on, that is so wrong. And you can see why Jeremiah was crying here in verse 9 here in this chapter. He said, "Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness." And yes, then he went on to say, "Yes, for the land is full of adulterers. Oh, for because of swearing, the land mourneth. Oh, the pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord." Oh my, you know, there's no excuses. We have God's word, you know, and oh my, if you're professing to be a Christian and you're still living in that place of profanity, vulgarness, and all of that, there's no excuse. Well, maybe at the first, yes, you may not understand everything. And thank God that, you know, we can expound it and we can look into it because, yeah, his word is full of words of life and it's full of instruction, which we need so desperately. But, oh, yes, as we're going to go now to the book of Romans, you know, we're going to see and understand that, you know, we are giving, you know, some very clear details to know what sin is all about and the great need to refrain from it. You know, I believe before I go to Romans, let's just turn for a moment to John chapter 8, and just to read a little bit here in this chapter. It tells us here, John chapter 8, verse 31, it says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." See, it's going to take a walk with the Lord to prove yourself faithful. You know, you just don't, you know, pretend to be a Christian. You're going to see through that, and it's not going to be good enough. But he said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And it's interesting because he was speaking to disciples here, or individuals that had believed on him, as it tells us in verse 30. And yet, you know, when he said this, you know, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," they protested. They said in verse 33, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Wow, that blows my mind, because it certainly had been in bondage, except for the grace of God, they, could have still been in Egypt. But here they're protesting, and whatever reason, they're certainly not getting the point that Jesus was teaching. But Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And oh my, you know, that is such a definition right there. And, there are folks that you know, think that they can walk with the Lord and still continue in their sin. But I'll tell you what, if we look into God's word, you know, and it's all over the place, we know that God pours out his spirit. God saves our souls to save us from our sins. Jesus Christ came into the world to save us from our sins. And yes, what a dreadful thing to, you know, continue in them when God has extended such mercy and grace to us. Oh, yes, you know, to even remove those sins when we repented from our sins and came to him. But, oh, yeah, there are those. And it's like mocking. It's like mocking God's word to continue in those sins. But, you know, the Jewish people, they hadn't understood, but Jesus explained it so clearly. You know, if you're living in sin, then you are the servant of sin. You are in bondage. It's holding you down. You know, you're in a bad way. And, oh, yeah, it's so necessary that we turn from sin. And, of course, we do know, as it does tell us, in 1 John, the second chapter, verse 1, John wrote and said, "My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not." Then he said, "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." And it's told us, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Oh, praise the Lord, you know. Oh, it's a beautiful thing, you know, that we can confess our sins, as it states in verse 9 of this first chapter of John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. I guess I was referring to verse 9 particularly, where it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." But a God so merciful and so kind, you know, he hates sin. And there was a problem. There was a problem. You know, before Jesus Christ came into the world, there was a problem because despite the law of Moses, there was sin. And the law was not adequate, to take them from their sins, to remove it and give them the strength to walk without sin. It wasn't sufficient. It wasn't complete. You know, it had frailties, you could say, and it had weakness. But praise the Lord for the plan of God, you know, because Jesus Christ came into the world to save us from our sins. Amen. And oh yes, he made provisions so that we don't have to continue to walk in them. In fact, you don't want to. You know, in 1 John, that third chapter, you know, John made such a point that the children of God, they're manifested, and the children of the devil. And, you know, it's either, you know, if you're a child of God, you're going to be righteous. You're going to do the things that please God. Of course, it's his righteousness that he gives us, but yes, we're going to walk in his ways. But you know, if that's not the case, then it's going to be manifest or revealed. In other words, that we're the children of the devil. You know, it's either one or the other. And you know, a lot of deception comes into the world to deceive people and you know, make them think otherwise and make them excuse sin and, you know, walk in ways that are contrary to God and still think they're okay, you know. Oh, you know, everybody goes to heaven, you know, in the minds of so many people, or, you know, maybe they don't regard any place at all. But you know, oh my, we need God's word. And oh yes, we need to not only read it, but we need to apply it. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. But anyway, let's go into Romans now. And we're going to just talk first about the conflict between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. And of course, you know, I read that verse that, you know, Jesus stated so clearly that no man can serve two masters. You know, you're going to either hate the one and love the other, or you're going to hold to the one and despise the other. And he made it clear, you cannot serve God and mammon, or mammon being the things of this world. And he, you know, I mean, we're so clearly told, you know, again, just thinking of a verse here in 1 John, the second chapter, verse 15, where it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, it spells it out very clearly. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And that 17th verse in that chapter in 1 John tells us, and the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Oh, praise the Lord. But yes, you know, the love of the world, it should not be a part of our reality if we're truly serving the Lord. Let's look now at Romans here, and we're going to start here.
Which chapter?
We're going to start here with Romans chapter 7 here to begin with.
Okay.
Romans chapter 7. Amen. And I'm going to go down to verse 18. Here we have a description. Paul is describing the conflict internally between the carnal and the spiritual mind. See, here, let's just read this here. Verse 18, Romans 7. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And you know, there, if we're just walking in the flesh, there's going to be a huge conflict. And we might really want to be good, you know? And I know there's people, and they try to do really good things, you know, to just help them, you know, thinking that that's going to get them to heaven even, you know? And you know, maybe because they feel good doing kind things too, but oh my, internally there's a battle when you haven't turned it over to the Lord Jesus. And Paul's describing, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. So that sin nature that interferes and is conflicting here, and you know, just it's so sad when, you know, you want to do good, and yet, you know, the mind, the person does contrary. And then he goes on, now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And oh my, we want sin to be gone from us. We don't want sin to reign in our mortal bodies. But, you know, if this battle is going on, you know, there's a conflict then with sin. And so he's talking about this great struggle with the flesh. I find it a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, those old man tendencies. But you know, there's a key verse that sticks out here, verse 22, that oh my, brings forth deliverance. Verse 22 says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Oh, praise the Lord. And that's where you're going to win the battles. Oh my, when you turn your attention, when you turn your mind over to the law of God. And yes, let it be applied into your life. Oh yes, that's a way of putting the old man down. Oh yes, that's the answer to this dilemma of sin. But then he's talking about this war that goes on in the flesh. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, that wrestling match, that battle. Oh my, but oh my, he says, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's a conflict. You know, until you've truly turned your life over to the Lord Jesus and mortified that sin and, you know, yielded your life to the Lord, you know, this conflict goes on. And oh, yes, in times when, you know, you let your mind wander and, you know, think beyond God's plan and purpose, and, you know, you can fight these struggles also. But oh yes, you know, how he says, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And oh my, it can seem so hopeless without the help of the Lord. But then he ends this thought by saying, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So he's talking about, yes, there is a way to overcome. There is a way of victory. Yes, I've got to turn my mind over to the Lord Jesus. You know, I've got to let him move in me, and that I've got to let his word register in my heart. I've got to hear that still small voice that speaks to my soul. So that, yes, I can win these battles, you know. I can yield to God and have victory over these conflicts. Praise the Lord. Oh, and thank God. Yes, because otherwise, you know, who would deliver us from this body of this death? And of course, that phrase, body of this death, it talked about just a horrible punishment that I believe the Romans would sometimes inflict when, you know, there was a criminal, I would hope, in this case, who had committed some sin and been judged and all, then they would put a dead body on that person's back and just let that dead body decay and all the bacteria and all the other awful things that happen in this matter as flesh is decaying, also to inflict the living person. And oh my, if it's on your back, you know, how do you get rid of it? But that's what sin is like. That's a word picture of sin. And how ugly it is when it's on our back. And, you know, we're living in that realm. That's pretty awful. So there's that question. But oh, praise the Lord, there's one that knew the dilemma that mankind was facing. And praise the Lord, he loved us so much. He had so many concerns and so much, esteem for his or desire to help his human creation that he put on flesh to come to this world as a man, to seek and to save those that were lost, each and every one of us, amen? Because we all had sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that there's none righteous, no, not one. So we all needed a Savior, and that's why Jesus Christ came, knowing full well it was going to take his death on the cross to save us, amen? To bring us salvation, to deliver us from our sins. And praise the Lord, because he did that, we don't have to walk in condemnation. We don't have to walk with that weight of sin on our back. Let's go to the next chapter here in Romans chapter 8. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, we're going to see in this portion of Scripture the contrast between the flesh and the spirit. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's look here. Okay, it reads, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And then it says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, you know, it's not just initially coming to the Lord Jesus, but, you know, we got to walk after his ways. We've got to put on Christ. We've got to serve the Lord. Amen. We've got to be faithful. Amen. Praise the Lord. We do not want to walk after the flesh. And as we read, you know, the flesh is enmity with God. And that's why Jesus Christ, repeat here, came to this world. Yes, because we had a great need. We did not have a Savior, and we were condemned. Oh my. So it goes on. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Oh yes, how the law was too weak to save our souls from sin. And you know, there'd be a partial redemption, you know, when you would atone for your sin with, you know, by a sacrifice and so on. But, you know, it'd just be partial. And, you know, maybe the next day you'd commit another one and you'd be back on your back. Oh my. But there's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Oh, he came that to make us free from the law of sin and death. Oh my, yes, that sin state upon which, you know, each of us was inflicted. You know, we all had that burden. Oh my. So it tells us, verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Oh, praise the Lord. And that's a wonderful verse. Yes, God robed himself in flesh, oh, to come to this world as the Son of God. As he put on the likeness of sinful flesh. Oh, yes, and it says for sin, yeah, for the purpose of redeeming us from our sin nature. And yes, because he walked in this world as the Son of God, as the Christ, as the Messiah, praise the Lord, he walked, he did something that no other one had ever done. He put himself under the law and yet kept it perfectly. And oh yes, he lived his life in this world without sin. So therefore he condemned sin in the flesh. Amen. He had victory over sin. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we could have hope. Oh yeah, so we could come to him and give him our sin and be forgiven. Praise the Lord. And so it tells us that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, yes, how the law was good, you know, with its original purpose and all, but it wasn't, you know, it was too weak. It did not have, you know, the ability, oh my, to fulfill the righteousness of the law, to bring salvation to us. But Jesus Christ came, yes. Oh, that righteousness that we, therefore, because he paid that price, Jesus Christ, because he overcame sin, because he overcame the devil, oh yes, because, you know, he was faithful, oh my, and he fulfilled the law, therefore we can walk in his righteousness. Praise the Lord, if we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then, oh yes, as I mentioned, we're talking about the contrast in this chapter now between the flesh and the Spirit. So it goes on to describe the flesh and its end, so to speak here. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You see, what a contrast. You know, you're either walking after the flesh or you're walking after the Spirit. And they're on opposite poles, they're opposite ends, and you know, they're contrary the one to the other. And it tells us in verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. If you're walking after the flesh, if you've got that carnal mind, then it's death. But contrasting again, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And then it explains a little bit more about that carnal mind. And you know, that's the natural man. You know, that's before we know Jesus. That's before we've turned our life over to him. We all had that carnal mind. And God forbid, you know, when we come to him, we don't want to keep that. We want to learn to knock that off when those thoughts and, you know, all those temptations, you know, come to disturb us and to hinder us and to tempt us. I mean, you know, we want to, you know, how, you know, to defeat the devil, to defeat those thoughts. Amen. Amen. Yes, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So, you know, you can't walk in two worlds. You can't serve two masters. And, you know, God despises it. It's enmity. Oh, the carnal mind, the works of the flesh, the old man, it's enmity. It's going to separate between you and God if it's there in your heart. Yes, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's contrary, it's opposing, it's something God hates, despises, loathes. So it tells us clearly in verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Oh my, that's just a very clear statement. If you're walking in the flesh, you're not going to be pleasing God. But it tells us, oh, thank God there's hope. Oh, that we can be a resurrected child of God, you know, not conformed to this world. Oh my, but renewed in the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord. Oh, it tells us, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And then it tells us, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And oh my, what a statement, you know? Oh, how we need to be born again of the water and of the Spirit, you know? It's so clear here. And it tells us, verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. In other words, we died out to the world of sin, to the old man, to the old tendencies, to the carnal mind, all of that, you know, we're dead to it. It's no longer a part of our nature and our thinking. Or if it tries to sneak in, then we slam down on it and you know, let it go and get rid of it. And, you know, don't entertain it. Don't let it continue. By the grace of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Oh, and it's talking about everlasting life. Oh, praise the Lord. Life in Christ Jesus. Oh, that well of living water, oh, from deep within that, you know, comes out. Oh, my. Oh, to bring us everlasting life. Tells us, verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. In other words, oh yes, the Spirit of Jesus Christ is that resurrecting power, praise the Lord, that will quicken our dead bodies, our mortal bodies, or if we are, have succumbed to, you know, dying in the flesh, or he's speaking, okay, here of death in that other sense. Okay, let me not get in trouble here, but you know, so that resurrecting power is what is going to make us alive in Christ Jesus, and yet the resurrection of the dead resurrect our bodies, praise the Lord, by his Spirit that dwells in us, praise the Lord. Amen, praise the Lord. So he goes on, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. No, Jesus paid a great price for our salvation. Oh, yes, so that we could live after Christ. Oh, my. Yes, so, yes, we our debtors. In no way do we want to live after the flesh, after the great price that was paid for our salvation, because the consequences of it are terrible anyway. It tells us in verse 13, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." And this is how we overcome. It talks about, yes, if you're going to live in that carnal state of mind and your mind be bent on the things of the world, and you know that's what you're aiming for, you know, you're looking for, you know, all the benefits of this world, and you know your ambitions and your goals all go in that direction, and you know you're just doing carnal things and, you know, behaving like everybody else, then, well, it tells us you're going to die. But, praise the Lord, if through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body, that old man nature, all those things that want to come in and overwhelm and overtake, I mean, if you do mortify, that means you kill those old thoughts, those old deeds, those, old ways, then you shall live. And then it tells us in verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And praise the Lord, I thank God. You know, he came to this world. He put the Holy Ghost in his people who have turned their lives over to him. And oh yes, believed on him. Praise the Lord, and embraced his promise. Praise the Lord. So we can be led by the Spirit of the living God. You know, under the law, under Moses, you know, the children of Israel were led by that pillar of fire by night and that pillar of cloud by day. And when that pillar of fire or that pillar of cloud stopped, they stopped. That is how God led them in that sense. But now, praise the Lord, he puts his Spirit in us. Praise the Lord, he puts the Holy Ghost within us so that, you know, he can lead us. Those thoughts that he inspires with, you know, you might just, you just feel him, you know. I just say, hey, no, don't go there, don't do that, you know, no, you know, that's wrong, that, you know, and that still small voice that speaks to our souls that we got to listen to. Oh, Lord, help us, amen. But, oh, yes, that's how we're led by the Spirit, and, you know, through the reading of his word, that is another way how we are fed in the Spirit, you know, delighting in the law of God after the inward man. You know, that's how we feed the Spirit and can walk in the Spirit and can be led by the Spirit. And yes, he said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And it's explained in verse 15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." Oh my, you know, no, there's no going back to that old spirit, you know, the bondage thing where sin was on our back and holding us down and condemning us. No, we've not received that spirit. No, for walking with the Lord and he's intervened in our lives. We're filled with his Spirit. But it says, "But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Oh, praise the Lord. He becomes, our daddy, you know, a close personal friend that sticketh closer than a brother, our salvation. Praise the Lord, the one that, you know, we turn to, continuously in our life. Amen. Oh, the one we esteem and love and, oh, yes, worship. Amen. But, oh, yes, he put the spirit of adoption in our hearts. Praise the Lord. So we're no longer servants of the world, you know, slaves of the world. We're not no longer living in that state of condemnation. Praise the Lord. But we've been adopted into the family of God. Praise the Lord, so that we are his sons and daughters. And yeah, praise the Lord. You know, it's a horrible thing. I remember before the Lord, saved me and filled me with the Holy Ghost. I remember I had a lot of fear in my life. And, you know, I was like, oh, man, I could feel it so many times. And Mom asked me to go down to the basement and get the potatoes. You know, that was really hard. You didn't want to go down to the spooky old basement, so it seemed. But God took that away from me when he filled me with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I was so afraid like that anymore, you know? That was one thing that was so noticeable in my life when the Holy Ghost came upon me and spake in tongues and worshiped the Lord. But praise the Lord, yes, he gives us that spirit of adoption to make us his own sons and daughters, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And it tells us, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We have that affinity with God, praise the Lord, so that, you know, we could walk those sins, you know, those iniquities that were on our back. They're gone. They're wiped away by the blood of Jesus Christ. They're no longer being held over us and condemning us. Praise the Lord. And there's that spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And it goes on, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorified, that we may be also glorified together. Oh yes, partakers of his salvation, partakers of his suffering. And then just this little portion, I'll end with verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. All the wonderful things that God has prepared for his people. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, he made a way. He made a provision that yes, we could overcome this world. We could overcome sin, that we don't have to live in that status. Oh my, in that condemnation. And yes, to continue here tonight, now I'm going to go to Romans, the 6th chapter. Amen. And we're going to just read of some keys to overcome sin here in this portion. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So Paul begins this chapter 6 with a question. And he asks, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And, you know, just, you know, because God's grace is so great, and it was so great that, you know, we could come to him and be forgiven our sins. So, oh man, it's so wonderful. Do we, you know, just keep sinning so that, you know, his grace can, you know, abound in that sense? No, that's so wrong in thinking. Oh, no. It says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And yes, that's what we've been talking about, dying to the old man, dying out to sin. It's no longer a part of our mentality or our thinking. And so, you know, God forbid, you know? You just think, oh yeah, there was this friend of Pastor David, when he was quite young. Well, he was young in the Lord at that time. He was still, I think it was teens, and this friend, you know, who actually had witnessed to him in a bar, would you say? But he was a very, I can't even know if I can say, he was very much a backslidden so-called Christian. But, you know, he still knew enough, you know, to know there was a way. Oh, it's so pathetic. But, you know, he had this mentality that, you know, some weekends he'd say, oh, I'm just going to go liberal. You know, I'm just going to go out this weekend and do my old thing, you know, live in sin, you know, just kind of have what the world calls a good time. Well, that man wasn't converted, was he? Oh, no, that's absolutely, you know, nothing to do with someone who has genuinely turned their lives over to Jesus Christ. Yeah, so, you know, it says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And I'll tell you, this fella, his name was Jim, and, he, you know, he ended up turning to Judaism. And last I heard about him, and that's years ago, so I don't know currently, but he ended up in federal prison. You know, we better not think we can, you know, just turn the switch and, you know, go liberal and then come back, you know, when we're through with our liberal day. Oh, God forbid. But okay, we're going to read a little bit more here. Know ye not, verse 3, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? And oh, yes, that's the great significance of going down in the waters in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Yes, we are identifying with Jesus in those waters of baptism. Praise the Lord. And it symbolizes us being baptized into his death. In other words, we have repented, which must happen first. You know, we have repented of the old man, of our sins. So we've died out to them. So yes, that baptism in the waters in the name of Jesus Christ symbolizes, you know, our new life in Christ where we go down, symbolizing that we're being buried with Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism, those sins going down in that water. Oh, yes, so they are remitted to no longer ever be recalled. Yes, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We go down, those sins being buried in the waters of baptism, buried with Christ. Oh, it's so beautiful. No wonder we love baptisms around here. It's a wonderful moment. And then coming up out of the water, praise the Lord, to walk in newness of life, a changed life, a new creature in Christ. Praise the Lord, all things, you know, being gone now, you know, buried in the waters of baptism. And it goes on, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, and yes, that baptism could be considered the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Oh, praise the Lord, how important it is to identify with Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism. And it says, oh, yes, as we die out to our old man. And yes, I heard Brother Samuel say it Sunday, you know, if you really repent, you're going to want to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And yes, it tells us in verse 6, therefore, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Okay, so we've killed the works of the flesh in that act. You know, it identifies our great desire to now walk in newness of life. Oh, to be that new creature in Christ Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Oh, yes. Oh, that will, you know, by the grace of God, no longer be a part of our person, of our desires, of our nature. Amen. You know, of our thinking. Praise the Lord. We let it go. We identified with Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord. Oh, yes. It's like that old man was crucified with him. Praise the Lord. And it says, you know, that henceforth we should not serve sins. Oh, yes, that is not the desire of the heart anymore. You know, and thank God if we slip and maybe, yes, it's going to be a period of growth because we're not going to understand everything at the first, you know. We've got to stay in the Word. We've got to, you know, keep listening to the Word of God and giving heed and, you know, listening to the prompting of the Lord Jesus, of the Holy Ghost that speaks to our hearts. But oh my, you know, that desire to serve sin no longer is a part of our person. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. For he that is dead is freed from sin. If we died out to sin, then we are freed from sin. And, you know, not the servant of sin, as Jesus had to tell the Jews there in that 8th chapter of John. And then it goes on. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Oh, praise the Lord. There's a hope. There's a hope beyond this world, you know. Not only are we, saved from our sins, but, oh, we have the promise of everlasting life. Praise the Lord. At the resurrection of the dead, or at that time when we, go to be with Jesus, we're going to live with him. That hope beyond this world. He explains, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Oh, the price is paid for our salvation. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, we've been freed from our sins. Oh, yeah, the old man is no longer on our back. Praise the Lord. Tells us, for in that he died unto sin once. Only one time, and we don't want to crucify the Son of God afresh. No, he did it once. That's all that was necessary to atone for our sins, to pay the price for our sins. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, it goes on to say, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, yes, oh, oh, his everlasting life, oh, those wells of living water that come to, oh, be in our person, in our spirit. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the old man is dead, but oh, yes, we can live unto Christ. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yes. And then we are told, verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Oh, yes, those lusts of the flesh, those lusts of the eyes, the pride of life, those things that are of the world, not of the Father. Oh, my, that we must not love, that we must not esteem, that we must not hold to. Oh, my, oh, my. We're commanded here to not allow sin to reign in our mortal bodies. Yes, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Oh no, we need to surrender. We must surrender to the living God, to his ways, to his will. Oh my, oh yes, to the ways that he has commanded. Amen. Through the teaching of the gospel, through the preaching, through the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then he says in verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So this is telling us, oh, how we're going to overcome, how we're going to defeat sin, that sin nature. Praise the Lord. No, we're not going to yield our members, and that's talking about our body parts, our mind, our soul, our strength. Well, come on, our hands, our feet, whatever, all, our person here, we must not yield it. And to yield means to surrender or submit, to give unto, give it over. We must not yield it unto instruments of unrighteousness, unto sin. But rather, this is how we gain the victory. This is how we gain the advantage over sin. But yield yourselves unto God. In other words, submit yourselves unto God. Surrender yourself unto God. Amen. That's what it means to yield, to give it all over. The will, the ambitions, those things of the flesh, all those things that try to creep in and hinder and destroy. Oh my, we don't listen to that voice of the devil that tries to, subject to his ways. But instead, yes, the answer is to yield, to give ourselves, to surrender ourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we turn our lives over to the living God, and praise the Lord. And those unruly members that try to destroy us and get us in a big jam. Oh my, by the grace of God, we don't listen to those voices that, oh yes, would direct us the wrong way. And it explains, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And praise the Lord, we are no longer under that period of time or dispensation of the law. Jesus Christ came into the world to fulfill the law. Praise the Lord, to establish it in such a way that, oh my, yes, we can walk with the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, it was prophesied. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm just going to turn to Ezekiel 11 for just a moment here. Ezekiel 11, I'm going to verse 17. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And yes, after their bondages, he was going to bring back his remnant. And bring them back to the land of Israel, because, yes, that day was coming when, he would redeem them from their sins. And instead of being under the dispensation of the law, they would be under this wonderful period called grace. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, so he allowed them to come back and prepared them for that moment when the Messiah would come into the world. And oh, yes, they would come against sin and the sin nature, and oh, make a way of escape so, you know, they did not have to continue in those old ways. And it tells us, verse 18, and they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. Those things that separated us from God, those things that God detests, that he hates, that are abominable in his sight. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, God was going to stir our hearts and minds so that, you know, he would give us his mind, a new mind. Oh, he put his law within our very being. It says, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. Oh, praise the Lord. In other words, a heart that can be melted by the presence of the Lord, a heart that can be touched by Almighty God, not that stony heart that's so hard that can't be moved, but rather a heart of flesh, a heart, oh yes, that can be soft and yield to the Spirit of the living God. Oh, yield that sin nature over to God. Praise the Lord. That they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But it says, but as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. Oh my, you know, it's not going to be good for those that refuse the mercy and salvation of the Lord Jesus. But oh yes, he comes, oh, into our lives to change us, to help us to understand what is right and what is wrong, to know right from wrong, to know, yes, the will of God from the ways of man. Jeremiah 31 also is applicable, I feel. It tells us here, Jeremiah 31, verse 31, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. Oh, yes, he was faithful. He led them. He took care of them. He provided for them. But, oh, my, they didn't keep that covenant. They didn't walk accordingly. Oh, my, you know, they had many problems. But, oh, yes, again, as we've already, you know, taught that, you know, that law of Moses wasn't adequate. It wasn't complete. It wasn't, you know, capable of taking them from that world of sin so that they could walk with God. But, yes, he's bringing about a new covenant, as is stated in this 31st chapter of Jeremiah, verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they will be my people. Praise the Lord. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. In other words, he would be our personal savior, each and every one of us. Oh my, he would talk to each and every one of us. He would inspire each and every one of us. He would direct each and every one of us so that we could walk in his ways. So, oh yes, so we could fear him and keep his commandments. And oh yes, it would be different than the laws of stone. Oh my, you know, so that we could all know him. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them. Praise the Lord. We don't have to look to the prophets or a priest, you know, in order to know the mind of God. But praise the Lord, he deals with each and every one of us. He talks to each and every one of us. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, he has given us leaders to inspire and to direct us and to help us. But praise the Lord. The Lord, oh, yes, under this new covenant, he is there to direct and lead each and every one. Oh, praise the Lord. So that each of us, shall I say, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. Oh, they'll all know me. Praise the Lord. Because here, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Oh, the beautiful plan of God, praise the Lord, that, oh yes, we come to him, we come to him and repent of our sins. Oh, praise the Lord, and that blood of Jesus Christ, oh, atones for our sin. And then, yes, we obey the command to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, those sins are remitted to be remembered no more. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
No longer on our back. And praise the Lord with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. And that is the well of living water that springs up within us. Oh, yes. Converting us, changing us, giving us strength beyond this world. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it tells us in Isaiah 30, verse 21, And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Oh, praise the Lord that speaks to us. You know, we hear, oh, the voice of the Lord speaking to us. This is the way. Jesus Christ is the way, and he's going to tell us, walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. And it tells us, oh, that act of getting rid of the sin here. It's described in verse 22 here in Isaiah 30. It says, Ye shall defile also the covering of the graven images of silver and the ornament of the molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a menstruous cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, Get thee hence. Oh, praise the Lord. He changes us so we no longer want to serve all the old ways, the old man, the devil, you know, all those carnal things that once were a part of our lives. Oh, praise the Lord, that new life in Christ Jesus. Oh, it's so beautiful. This is the plan of God. This is his wonderful covenant that, you know, he had ordained. And oh, yes, how the prophets prophesied of it, praise the Lord, oh, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord, oh, thank you, Jesus, oh, thank the Lord, how he leads us, how he guides us, so yes, oh, we can know the way, we can follow after him, we don't have to wallow in our sins and you know, live in under those conditions, praise the Lord, saved and redeemed, oh, by the blood of Jesus Christ, oh my, thank you, Lord, and walking in his ways, praise the Lord, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh, our God is so good,
yes, he is.
Amen. I'm going to read a little bit more in Romans 6. Verse 14 again, for sin shall not have dominion over you. In other words, it shall not rule over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord. That's, you know, how it's determined whom you yield yourselves. Oh, my, whom you submit yourselves to. And oh, it goes on, verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Praise the Lord, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, we obeyed it. Oh, yes. Oh, this is how we walk in newness of life. Oh, this is how we overcome the world. That's how we can live in that realm where we overcome sin. Praise the Lord. Oh, once upon a time, the servants of sin. But oh, thank God, that moment when we obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, oh, that message that was preached on the day of Pentecost, that need to repent and to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, oh, we've been delivered. Oh, praise the Lord, and we overcome by yielding ourselves to the voice of God. Oh, yes, to become his children, to become his servants. Oh, yes, to be free from sin. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Praise the Lord. I speak after the manner of man because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, our past old man, our past life, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, our God who came to this world to save us. And oh, yes, that's our past, that's our old man. Praise the Lord. And now, yes, we can walk. Oh, we can walk in faith. We can walk in holiness. Oh, yes, we can live a life. We can bear fruit. Praise the Lord, that will not bring shame. Oh, yes, see, it talks about the end of those things. That way of sin is death. Eternal damnation is speaking of in verse 21. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank God for this life in Christ Jesus. How we can yield our members unto him, and we can surrender our will, our emotions, our ways unto him. Praise the Lord. So we don't have to walk in the ways of the flesh. Because, as it tells us in verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that old man. Oh, we walked in that path. Oh, we were headed for the lake of fire. Oh, but praise the Lord, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise the Lord, the one who came to this world to save us from our sins. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that's how we overcome that wonderful life in Christ. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, God. We worship you. Thank you, God, for your mighty works. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, praise God. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
In closing, we're going to open our chorus book to number 42 and sing "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul." Number 42. Bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night. Thank you.
Thank you.